Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
I started speaking on the subject, wine is a mocker. Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 23, verses 31 and 32. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Consider the deceitfulness of wine. Its mildness might be deceiving. Its presentation might be persuasive and deceiving. The misuse of Scripture about it might be misleading. If one is trying to defend the drinking of wine, he might ignore verses about the dangers of it and emphasize portions of Scripture like these. From Proverbs 23:30 comes these words, "They that tarry long at the wine." And a part of Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." The defender of drinking might say that it is all right to drink, but just don't drink too much. But remember that during most of history, wines were not clearly marked to show their alcoholic content. At times, a person might have tasted some grape juice that was beginning to deteriorate and was slightly fermented. Sometimes, some of the old might have been mixed with the new. Discretion should have been used, but if one wanted to get drunk, he might have continued to drink in spite of his better judgment. I do not deny that there can be some slight alcoholic content by way of natural fermentation. Wild or natural yeast might cause some juice to become slightly alcoholic. Perhaps even more of a danger is posed by feral yeast in equipment that had juice that was highly alcoholic therein. Perhaps you've heard stories of birds or small mammals that have become intoxicated by eating fermented berries. I do not deny that natural fermentation can produce some alcoholic content, but do not think that you're going to find a naturally produced, highly intoxicating drink that man has not manipulated or controlled to produce that high alcoholic content. Some might ask, what about 1 Timothy 5:23, which says, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." Notice, the verse did not state new wine or old wine, non-alcoholic wine or alcoholic wine. Mr. David Cloud gave these words, quote, "This cannot possibly be referring to alcoholic wine because he specifically says that it is to be taken for Timothy's stomach. He obviously had some kind of stomach disease, and any doctor will tell you that such a person must abstain from alcoholic beverage. This author has had much stomach trouble through the years and has consulted various doctors, observing various dietary restrictions. In every case, they warn against drinking any alcoholic beverage whatsoever." If we know that today, surely the Holy Spirit of God knew that when He inspired this verse. End of quote. Some might ask, what about Proverbs 31, verses 6 and 7, which says, "Give strong drink unto him which is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more." Notice, give. There are times that a doctor might give or administer morphine to a dying patient. He might say to a family member of a dying patient, "Give the patient this dose of morphine every 4 hours to help him breathe comfortably and to not suffer excessively." Do you think that just because a doctor has said to give that prescribed dose of morphine to that patient every 4 hours, that he is suggesting that the general public should freely indulge in the taking of morphine? By the way, if you are caring for a terminally ill patient, I advise you pay attention to any medical personnel that might care for that patient. Sometimes euthanasia might take place under the guise of keeping the patient comfortable. Sometimes a moderate amount of painkiller or sedative for one that is near death might be very appropriate. The two verses before that verse that says, "Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish," says, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of the afflicted. Since I have been saved, I am a king. I am a priest. I am a child of God. I have responsibilities, and I don't need my judgment impaired by alcohol. I've made bad decisions while sober. I certainly don't need to have my mind clouded by alcohol. If I play with that serpent alcohol, it might bite me, and I might have unnecessary woe and contentions and become a red-eyed babbler. I don't need that. Secondly, consider the deceitfulness of it. Wine is a mocker, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." How many times has a person drank wine or beer and thought, "I can stop before I do something stupid," or something along that line? Here's a poem from a Mrs. Stetton entitled, "Don't Drink." "Little drops of alcohol make a man a fool, make him miss the bridge, drive into the pool. Little drops of beer and wine in daddy's head coaxed off the money for shoes and clothes and bread. Little drops of liquor swallowed through the years make a mother sadder, fill her eyes with tears. So we'll never drink it, the horrid, nasty scum, nor tote a whiskey bottle that makes a man a bum." I've not made a lot of money in my lifetime, and I don't need to be blowing money because I wreck cars and spend money unnecessarily. I don't need alcohol clouding my mind. I can have enough trouble without that. Years ago, I came across a story about a woman that claimed that she was converted to prohibition as a girl. According to the story, she said, "I came in one day to the county seat. In front of the little store, I saw a family in an old wagon with a mule team. The woman wore a sunbonnet, had no shoes, and four little children sat on the wagon floor. They were all radiantly happy. I wondered why, and going into the store, found that they had driven in to get money for their crop, which the man and wife together had cultivated. It was their only income during the year." According to the story, the man took them into the store. He told the owner, "You give her what she wants. I'll be back with the money." And the woman chose. The person relating the story stated, "I waited to see their happiness. They wanted everything, shoes and sheets, sugar and flour, all the things to eat and to wear that they had done without. The kind storekeeper gave the children some candy." The woman relating the story said that she left and then returned and said the picture had changed, that there was tragedy in the woman's voice, but no tears. The children, feeling the changed atmosphere, were crying. And she stated, "As I came in," the woman said, pointing to the row of bundles ready for her to take home, "I think you had better put them back. He hasn't come." She told that later the old team came up with a drunken man on the seat and that he stumbled out and cursed and screamed and fell across the doorsteps of the store, helpless, beastly. And the woman said helplessly, "Put them back." Every cent was gone, and she lifted the man with the help of the storekeeper, carried him to the wagon, and drove home. This woman stated, "I never recovered from the shock and the horror of that drama of life. It made me a prohibitionist." How many similar stories could be told? There might even be a listener that could relate a similar story. Today, the family might arrive in a car instead of a wagon, and the wife and the children may go shopping while the man goes to cash his check. Today, drugs might be what robs the family of food and clothing instead of alcohol. Someone might say the U.S. government tried prohibition years ago and it didn't work. There is something that does work by the grace of God. It's called personal prohibition. We especially need believers that will be teetotal abstainers. I can't afford to play with the drinking of wine and beer. Wine is a mocker. I came across something called Positively Negative. I don't know who the author was, but listen to these words. We drank for joy and became miserable. We drank for sociability and became argumentative. We drank for sophistication and became obnoxious. We drank for friendship and made enemies. We drank for sleep and awakened exhausted. We drank for strength and felt weak. We drank to feel exhilaration and ended up depressed. We drank for medicinal purposes and acquired health problems. We drank to get calmed down and ended up with the shakes. We drank for confidence and became afraid. We drank to make conversation flow more easily, and the words came out slurred and incoherent. We drank to diminish our problems and saw them multiply. We drank to cope with life and invited death. I have read that a man that was a famous evangelist was quoted as saying, "There's nothing wrong with a little drink. I do not believe that the Bible teaches teetotalism." What a dangerous thing to say. There might have been someone that had been tempted to drink that took this as the condoning of a little drinking. Every drunk started with his first drink. People that don't drink don't become drunkards. Two saved men lived among people upon whom God poured out his judgment. Lot was helped by God to escape Sodom before fire and brimstone fell upon the city of Sodom. Noah was helped by God to escape the world before the flood came and destroyed everyone but him and his family. After Lot escaped from Sodom, he got drunk one night and committed incest with one daughter, and he got drunk the next night and committed incest with his other daughter. He had escaped, but he failed terribly because of wine. After Noah had escaped destruction by the flood, he fell to wine. I believe that he was probably very well aware of the dangers of drinking wine, but he might have thought that he would drink a little in the privacy of his tent and that he could stop when he felt like he had too much. Two men escaped great judgments and fell to wine. It is interesting that both Noah and Lot became indecently exposed to relatives. When a person becomes drunk, he might do terrible things to others, and others might do terrible things to him. A drunk can be very vulnerable. A drunk might be helped repeatedly by good people to stand up and to make it home, but a drunk might also fall prey to bad people. God gave this description of the kind of man that Noah was before the flood came. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. But I do not believe that God led Noah to get drunk after the flood. Please do not think it vain repetition for me to say, wine is a mocker. Wine is a mocker. Wine is a mocker. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.